Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So we watch stuff number 110. I'm Jeremy. Shahid is with me. A little bit late after San Diego Comic-Con, but whatever. We're still going to cover everything from our perspective. And what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying the week and not enjoying this 100-degree weather that's been infecting us every damn day this week.
Yeah.
Like, it's been since Sunday. It's been 100, 100, 101, 104. Tomorrow's will be 101, then 100, then 100. Like, it's not supposed to drop below 100 till, like, next Wednesday.
But is it a dry heat?
Yeah, once it gets... Yeah. It's an old joke they make in the Middle East. Once it gets above 100, no heat is dry. Hot is hot.
Yeah, they even say that in Arizona. Like, you know, because most older people are people with, like, allergies, but what's the other thing? They have to be in a dry climate, because apparently it doesn't get humid out there, but, you know, it only gets up to, like, 126 degrees. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's worse, but now that we started the show like two old men, what's this deal with the sweet-ass Wonder Woman poster you got?
Oh,
that thing is badass.
Yes, so I was online, as I tend to do, looking at stuff. And then there was this post about this artist that was inspired by Wonder Woman. Like, because in the one in the trailer is one of the main pictures. It's kind of like when she gives the knee to the soldier, knocking them out the building when they're fighting, like, in a clock tower. So they took the idea of that and, like, made it kind of like, you know, Greek mythology thing with the vase and everything and those colors, almost kind of like a 300 Spartacus type thing. And it's like a limited edition, kind of like, you know, they're going to make 1,500. You know, get them while you get them. So this was about a month and a half. I ordered this maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago, matter of fact. And it came in this weekend. And I ordered the frame this week. The frame came in today. And then, boom. So,
what's first the name of the artist?
I have to look it up because I don't remember. But, yeah, I was... It's different, like, you see something online, like, that may look cool, but you don't know how, like, will look when you actually get it. And when I got it, and, like, I put in a frame and everything, I'm like, yeah, this is a talking piece right here. I guess the first poster I've actually ever purchased, like, to hang on my wall in my life.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I usually got mine free from the movie theater, so I never had to.
Yeah, and yeah. It was kind of like, I liked the movie that much that it was a no-brainer as soon as I got it. And, like, since then, I brought another poster, from China, like a Wolverine. You remember the second Wolverine movie when they were doing like the watercolor posters?
Yeah, yeah.
That style? Yeah, I got one of those. So I had to order from China though, so it should be here like a week.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, and then you're on a government list or a separate one. So watch out.
I was already on yeah. Like multiple lists anyway, so good. I'm buying cheap materials like the rest of America's to make America great again. Because there ain't nothing like, you save money getting an aux cord from China if you don't mind waiting a week and a half. You can buy it for like $2.
Oh.
And free shipping.
I was going to say something else, but we got too much else to talk about. But, anyways, where do we even start with all the news that came from the weekend? there's no good place, there's no bad place, there's no wrong place. I mean,
yeah.
Everything was overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, it's funny, kind of like we were talking about that, like, you know, on the show early, and I wonder what we'll talk about. And then, like, from Saturday, I want to say from noon on, it was just, like, thing after thing after thing. And it got to, like, a point where, I know they say no such thing as too much a good thing. It became too much of a good thing. Like, I got overloaded. Like, okay, this is too much.
Yeah, because like, you were telling me some stuff, and I was like, wait, huh? And that I was off the grid pretty much for most of Saturday. So then when I saw all this different stuff, I was like, oh, my God. And then you were telling me some other things that I had missed. So, yeah, too much of a good thing. But then at the same time, it's like, damn, that's still a good thing. So
okay, so the first thing I saw, well, okay, the two main things trailer wise was the like almost 4 minute Justice League trailer, because that's the first thing I saw. Like, that was a you don't normally see trailers that long.
I get the feeling that was just a Comic-Con trailer. I can't imagine.
But yeah, even like, Comic-Con, you normally don't get. You get, like, footage, but you don't get, you know, trailers like that. And it's funny because it was like, it's weird because it was an enjoyable trailer. And it was kind of like, you know, it got the feel, like, it showed new stuff. And you kind of got the story from it and everything. And it still gave that weird feel about Justice League. It's kind of like, you know, because they're still doing, like, reshoots.
$25 million worth of reshoots.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, and it's affecting, it's end up becoming a thing where they have to use digital trickery to hide Henry Cavill's mustache. Because he's filming Mission Impossible 6, and they was like, you have to, it's in this contract that he has to have the mustache. And they were like, you so will be free by now. So, you go ahead and be Superman all you want, but you better not put a razor to that thing.
Which is just a weird, such a weird thing. Like, how long did it take him to grow it?
It's just, you know? You remember, did you see Tropic Thunder?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Tom Cruise's character?
The Jewish lawyer or the Jewish agent? Can't remember what his name
was. The movie, like, chairman or, like, the big executive.
Yeah.
It's a lot, and a lot of people made the joke saying, you know what? It wasn't exaggerated. It wasn't as exaggerated as people think because they have a lot of pricks who were petty as hell.
That was supposedly based off of a real person. I can't remember the person's name, though.
Yeah, I don't either. The first name that came to my mind was Harvey Weinstein for some reason. But yeah, I heard it was based on people, on like amalgam of like two or three people. And it was like, they do petty stuff like that. You know, like, yeah, well, you're contractually obligated to, you know, you can't cut off your mustache. You got to weigh a certain weight. And to be fair, the Paramount was kind of like, they had this spot open. He was hired to do this spot. He was supposed to be free. Now all of a sudden, Warner Brothers, like, you know, we got to go back to the drawing board, get everybody off vacation, get everybody off set, and do all this. It's the same thing happened, like, with Wonder Woman, where Gal Gadot had to do reshoots, and she's 5 months pregnant, so they had to green screen her belly out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow, she was doing stunts? Oh, wait, I guess not. Probably not stunts.
But she was doing stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, you know, yeah, like, you got to do what you got to do. But back to the trailer, it's kind of like, we've been saying for the longest, you know, we hope the movie's good. I don't know. Like, it has the potential to be good. It's a lot of stuff going on. And it seems like it's a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to make it less grim than the earlier movies. And it's funny with all the rumors surrounding just, not just that movie, but like, we haven't really talked about the whole thing. It's kind of like Ben Affleck had to come out and say, like, yes, I love being Batman. I'm not going anywhere. Cause the whole thing is kind of like the next Flash movie, they're going to use Flashpoint. And people are thinking about, are they going to use that to reboot the universe and get rid of Batman or the Ben Affleck Batman?
Well, I mean, in Flashpoint, Batman is actually Thomas Wayne. And I've seen people talking about Jeffrey Dean Morgan being Batman in that. Because remember, he was Thomas Wayne in Superman Batman. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. They want to do it that way. But I didn't get why he has to be, you know, why he's got to be young all of a sudden. And sorry, I know people didn't like Superman Batman that well, but he was awesome. Yeah. You know, after months or even years, I guess, it took a while for it to come out, people just ripping on Ben Affleck about it. He was great. So I'm in absolutely no hurry to see somebody else take over, and I don't get why DC would want to replace him. Other than I saw they want to do another trilogy of Batman movies, and by the time they're done, he'd be in his 50s.
So
yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, he's got that Hollywood magic he can use and stay young. You know?
I mean, we going to pretend that Liam Neeson wasn't a super action star for like 7 years, and when he started, it wasn't like he was 42 when Taken came out.
Yeah.
Are we forgetting, like, you know, Denzel Washington is not 37 years old and he's still making action movies that's making a lot of money? Like, even the relatively young ones, like Tom Cruise is in his 50s, Will Smith's in his late 40s, The Rock is in his early, like,
The Rock's not a human being though, so you can't put him in the discussion.
Yeah, but I thought about him because I was watching Get Smart. It popped up on HBO.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot
he was in there, and I forgot he was the bad guy. I was like, wow, this movie's a long. Like, he looks so different. Like, he looked like SmackDown Rock compared to, like,
Yeah, because he was doing that whole weight cutting thing to make himself look like a normal person.
Yeah.
And glad to see still, that he got away from that.
Yeah. Like, he was still big, but he looked like, you know, just, I'm just have to be a tall guy, not, I have to be the Terminator. But, yeah, the whole stuff with Affleck, it's like, it's just Warner Brothers can't seem to get out their own way, even when they have good stuff. Because it's kind of like, you know, they announced when Wonder Woman 2 is coming out, they're still fighting over money with Patty Jenkins. Like, give her what she wants. What are you doing?
Well, I've also read Jeff Johns is writing the script as well. And it's like, okay, but he said that he was writing it with her. Now all of a sudden it's just him writing it. So I'm thinking something's going to get done. Because when's the release date? Like December 2019, right?
2019,
You know, that's fine. They got plenty of time to work that out.
Yeah, and normally so. I would be like, you know, they can't mess this up, but they messed up stuff like this. Like, it's hard to give them a goodwill because they got one good movie that made a lot of money that people actually you got to do more than one. And then once they did their one, they announced all this other stuff, and we're going to do this and this and this. It's like, get Justice League right. And the fact that they're, like, movies do reshoots, but the fact that they're doing so many this kind of late in the game, I would normally be worried more if the fact is kind of like, I trust Joss Whedon more than I trust Zack Snyder. It's not like Joss Whedon is infallible either, because he, you know, for all the nerd love he has, he's kind of missed up a few times here and there, but he knows how to handle big movies. Like, he did do both Avengers movies, and they made what they made.
And that's the thing with Joss Whedon taking over, is especially $25 million is a lot of money to spend on reshoots. And watching that trailer, which I was thoroughly entertained watching it, I mean, there's the nerd stuff you can nitpick, but I enjoyed it. But I also noticed there were some scenes that didn't have the Zack Snyder look to it. There were clear scenes where, wait a minute, is that actual color in the scene? Like, what the hell's going on? And then you got to, like, the CGI effects where everything was in the brown, gold, you know, washed out sepia stuff. So I'm beginning to wonder if some of these reshoots or some of the money may not be spent to try and get the color tone to match up, or at least to have it be a little brighter. Because even Wonder Woman was a little toned down, but nothing like Superman, Batman, or Superman for that matter, or Man of Steel, excuse me.
And at least Wonder Woman had excuses, kind of like it was World War One, and everybody was miserable. So, because when they were doing all the Themyscira, you know, parts, like, the color wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy color, but it wasn't like it's white. Like, somebody took a red, you know, towel and put it with the whites and washed clothes. Like, it wasn't wrung out. And I know that used to be cool. Can we move away from that, please?
Yeah.
That Dark Knight Underworld Matrix filter. Because that's when that started, was around that. Like, Blade in that time. And it fit then, and it fit those movies. But now it's kind of like everything, at least Marvel's finally moving away from that. It's kind of like, oh, I found a box of crayons. Or, ooh, I found the contrast button on my remote control. Color exists. This whole grayish blue tint or dark orange 300 tint or Sin City tint, it's like, ugh, no. Like, people, we spent a lot of money to get away from black and white to color. And now everybody think the only colors we got are like blue, gray, and crap brown. Like,
yeah, I don't. It was fine. What was that, Sucker Punch? I mean, fine, whatever. The movie was cool looking, but it sucked really bad. But he's been stuck with that. I mean, I know this is a kind of, you know, old territory, but Joss Whedon doesn't operate like that. I mean, for his, you know, that's his Avengers movies. I mean, it's funny. Go back and watch Avengers. That Captain America outfit is goofy as hell.
Yes, it is.
And boy, did they get it right. Like, not get it right, but boy, did it change soon after.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like, it was goofy. Everybody knew it was goofy. And we just let it slide because it was kind of like, it's the Avengers. Look at them all together. But it's kind of like, especially, it worked in his movie. Because the time frame, everyone was like that. But seeing him with that goofy thing standing next to Iron Man and Hawkeye, it's kind of like, is he like, did he just come from Comic-Con? Like,
yeah.
It's like, it is ridiculous looking, but he just plays it so earnestly, it works. And it's funny, like, looking at that one, and then compared to, like, the Winter Soldier, like, the one he wore in Winter Soldier, like, it's modern and badass and everything like that. And even as, like, you know, I gotta go back to my original one. Like, people, you can get away with that with Captain America. You couldn't do that, like, if all of a sudden, you know, Dark Knight Rises, Batman shows up, and he's rocking the Adam West colors.
Yeah.
The White Bane. Like, that people would be looking like, huh? Like, why are you walking around with gray with a big yellow bat on here? Like, so it's kind of like you have to fit the time and frame. And I think it wasn't just Zack Snyder. Like, Christopher Nolan's movies kind of influenced a lot of people there, because it's like, I want to make things realistic and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
and the colors. And then everybody, and like, those movies successful, so everybody followed that too. And it's like, you know, there's a time and place for, like, your comic book movies. Embrace it. Like, be... The ones that are most successful are the ones that kind of like, they grab what it is and they're not embarrassed or ashamed of it, try to hide it. They go all in. And I hope with, and it shows, like, you know, they're trying to do more of that, because you were talking about the scenes with Aquaman, and he's basically showing,
so
like, he's
awesome.
Like, it's basically playing a role like, I'm going to be, you know, dude, bro, basically. And
riding a parademon from the sky through a building and just sliding out. Just to run and jump and go through something else, I was like, holy shit, that is awesome. And it's funny, because I love the visual look of the character, even though the history is a mess. I almost think Jason Momoa might have been a better Hawkman. But he's like, Hawkman's like super serious. Well, so is Aquaman for the most part. I know they're getting away from that with this character, obviously.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing I thought of, was how badass he would have been as Hawkman.
Yeah.
So,
I'm thinking it's kind of like Aquaman, for better or for worse, has that reputation of being a joke character for
yeah.
people who don't really pay too much attention. And it's like, how do you make him not a joke? You have Jason Momoa play him. And it's kind of like, you know, he doesn't look that way. It's like, so what? Hugh Jackman is not 5'3".
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, you couldn't... Like, even if I asked, you know, who could you think of play Wolverine? You wouldn't even want to even think about that question, because it's kind of like, if I'm an actor, I ain't trying to play that role. And he's like,
no,
nah, that's all. You're gonna have to pay me Daniel Craig, James Bond money. Even think about it, it's like, so. And it's, I know how you feel about Cyborg. It's just weird seeing him, because every time I see him, I keep thinking like the BT version of Iron Man,
just garbage.
And him trying to be a thing, and it's kind of like, I didn't like him on Teen Titans. I always thought he was a goop. Like, is he, like, what does he, it just seemed like just weird. Like, whenever I saw him, and it just seemed like, ugh. But
yep.
I give it a chance. Cause like, at least they're trying to do something. I'm not as all mad about the Flash's costume as other people, even though it's kind of like, it doesn't make any sense wise. And it's like that cause it's cool. But most comic things are like the way they are because they're cool. I like how they play this super speed thing. Is like, you know, it's almost like he's teleporting, like he's so
yeah.
fast.
I did like that. I did like how the fastest man on Earth, gets stuck with Gordon. I think it's gonna be a totally different. All right, the version of the Flash in the movies is obviously gonna be totally different than the movie. I'm not sure either one has gotten it right, just from the small snippets we've seen. Because he's not supposed to be a dour or sour figure, but he was never supposed to be like an absolute goofball. So I liked his line in the preview where he goes, I'm used to just pushing people into things. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much all he would have been doing so far in this. And I like that showed like the humanity of it, which I liked, but they also made him like some techno hacker thing or whatever, right? Isn't that what he's supposed to be? Instead of like a forensics police scientist. So it's like, all right.
I mean, update, because it's kind of like, you know, the whole police forensic thing is, it always seemed like, it's funny where the tech thing seems kind of like hackneyed and it's like that's stuck in a stereotype. So is the police forensic superhero thing. Like, CSI probably had people thinking like it's real easy to solve crime. Even though, like,
yeah.
you can only do so much with DNA. You're not a superhero because you put your glasses on and you found half of a fingerprint. Like, so I'm real curious. I'm looking forward to seeing a movie just for spectacle and anything like that.
Yeah.
And just to see how they, like, that's the biggest thing is, like, what to expect, because this is after Wonder Woman success, after Joss Whedon's been on there, with all this noise going around, and also the fact that it's sharing the same month as the next movie that I want to talk about.
Well, before we get off Justice League, there's one. All right, so obviously Superman wasn't in the preview at all. No one believes he's not going to be in this movie, because they've already had Henry Cavill on set. Who was at the end that Alfred was talking to? Because that was like the big talking point of it.
Yeah, and they want you, and they, it's funny where they acknowledge the fact that Green Lanterns exist.
I love that part. That was a total geek moment. Like,
yeah,
good.
So of course it's kind of like the obvious one you would think is he's talking about Superman, but the fact that they all still assume, like, as far as everything else goes, they assume he's dead, and they basically start the whole thing is like, you know, him missing, hope is missing. We need to get that back, so why would he think hope is coming back? So it's like, who could it be? And, you know, you think about Green Lanterns, you think about Martian Manhunter, you think about a lot of things. It's like, that's the whole pull, and I think they will, I remember we talked about when Civil War came out, and it was kind of like the whole, how, like, as much as we enjoy seeing Spider-Man in a trailer, how different would have played off if the first time you see him was when you watch the movie? Like, people would have lost their damn minds.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is kind of like, you know, you got Spider-Man, you want to show Spider-Man. This one, I'm thinking I hope they play it close to the vest. Like, don't show it. Don't have a third trailer that finally shows up. You know, even if people assume Superman's going to be in there, don't show him. Because it's going to be a lot of people that's still going to be surprised. Like, casual fans see these movies, too.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily know about the death and life of Superman or that storyline. They just remember seeing Batman or Superman. Oh, Superman died. So they're going to be watching the movie based off that and then be surprised. So I don't know. I have guesses, but I like not knowing instead of trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, the nerd thing. And I got caught up in it. I'm guessing it's Superman anyways, but someone made an argument that there's a green light in Alfred's glasses. And I'm like, well, he's working on a car, so it's probably just one of the lights around so we could see the whatever he was doing. And then another person said if you zoom in close enough, you can see the X pattern from Martian Manhunter's chest plate.
You see what people do.
And like, I'm like, you know what? It's one of those power suggestion things. So I'm like, oh, let me zoom in. I'm like, you know what? I can kind of faintly make that out. And that's why we were talking online. And I'm like, you know what? It'd be awesome if it was all of them. Just like, here you go, guys. Here's the rest of the original seven. And you get to freak the fuck out. And then, of course, it goes, bang, to be continued or something. Which I don't want that to happen. But that would be really, really awesome if they did that. Because you have immediately hooked everybody, regardless of how bad this one may be. Which, I hope it's not bad. I had the same reaction to this that I did Wonder Woman. Like, please be good. Just please. Even good will be fine. Doesn't have to be fantastic or any of that stuff.
Yeah, like, if they get good, and it's like you have two in a row and you can build on that. And, like, you can build goodwill with that. Especially, it's kind of like, if you're fixing the problems you had, and it's like, okay, we got good ones. We're going to have some more good ones. We kind of worked the stuff out. And, like, it's funny where Wonder Woman is kind of like their tentpole thing that they can build on because, like, that has goodwill now. And the main thing is, like, whatever's going on with Batman, just get that right.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, you can mess up Superman. You can mess up the Suicide Squad, all that stuff. Don't mess up Batman. That's the breadwinner. Like, Get and it shouldn't be. Part of me would say it shouldn't be that difficult to mess up Batman, but Batman has been messed up in movies before.
Yeah. So it's not that hard. But you're mentioning that this comes out. Is it after or before?
After, I think.
Okay, this comes out after what looks like is going to be an absolutely bananas movie. In Thor Ragnarok, where they've showed another preview for that. The second one, I mean, I think when we talked about it originally, I was like, huh? And I was like, the shock of everything wore off. And now you see this one, it's like, this is insanity.
Yes.
And you got the Hulk and him in a buddy movie, basically, and Hulk is talking.
Yes.
Which threw me off, but at the same time, I'm like, all right, good. Yeah, it's because that'd be kind of a lonely thing, but man, just I've never really anticipated a Thor movie before.
You know what's weird? It's almost like it's funny that we're getting this. Do people like? I think we kind of underestimate like how the fact that this is a big budget movie that looks like is weird as hell that everyone excited. Like we talk about the Flash Gordon colors, we talk about the storyline. Like it's a buddy comedy in space with Thor and the Hulk. That's a big budget movie. Like just think about that. Like, you know, 16-year-old you, a 22-year-old you, like one day you're gonna get that. Like the stuff you talk about in comics. You got Hela strolling around like a Victoria's Secret model from hell. You got Thor just talking about, oh, you know, my day started bad. Like, oh, you know, my hammer got broken and yada, 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 and this and that. You got all this stuff going on with Loki.
Loki with the Cosmic Cube.
Yes. Like, I'm watching this.
Oh, no, that was Infinity War. Never mind.
No, that was Infinity War. Like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, I'm just shocked. Like, this is amazing. It's so out there, and the fact that Marvel's like, all right, like this is what you want to do. If you're gonna go ahead and do it, because we've talked about like Thor should be weird. Thor should be out there because the whole idea of Thor is weird as hell when you think about it. Like an alien pretending to be a Norse god, like, and that's just a thing. Like, yeah, he has a magic hammer, he controls lightning and all this other stuff. It's batshit crazy, and they try to make it like, you know, it's a fish out of water thing, or it's kind of like we want it to be like Shakespeare in space, but not too weird. No, it's weird. Like Thor is weird. The idea of Thor is weird. Make it weird. Like, and just seeing Hulk talk, like it's funny where, you know, we've watched cartoons and he's talked before. He's never talked in the movies when he was Hulk, besides saying like maybe Betty or. Yeah.
Smash or something.
Or like, or say like one sentence or something like that. So to him have a conversation, like, and it's just so, I'm just watching this and I'm like just gobsmacked. Like, this is a thing. I can't believe this is a thing. I'm watching this and I still couldn't believe, and I watched like three times.
Yeah. The fact that there's an alien with machine guns. What, who's Carl Urban playing? I don't remember the name.
Hey, Scourge.
Yeah.
With an AK-47.
Yeah. Like, wait, what?
In space.
But isn't the world they go to where, like, the universe just... That's like a planet. It's a trash planet. That's where, like, everyone dumps their trash. If I remember right.
That's where Thor ends up. But it's kind of like... That's not necessarily where they are. Because it's funny where you see Hela and you see him. And they basically, like, laying waste to Asgard, more or less.
Yeah, which is... Another thing I guess I'm going to have to address, I suppose, but...
Yeah, and the fact that it's kind of like, this is the first time they had a serious, like a woman as the main villain, and like, she just looks like, it's amazing. Cate Blanchett is just the villain of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked about it multiple times, it's like, you know, Academy Award winner, Academy Award nominated Cate Blanchett. It's like, she's done nerd stuff before, like, anyone see Lord of the Rings know that. And she's done weird stuff before because I've seen Hannah and she was weird as hell with that movie.
Yeah.
But her and that, you know, that headdress she has and everything, it's like, that should look stupid. and the fact that it doesn't look stupid, and it's like, how do they... See, when you embrace stuff, you can pull it off. Don't be afraid. And it's like... The director, I always get his name wrong. He is not afraid of embracing this weird stuff, and kudos to them. And this, like, I've seen Thor movies out of obligation, but I never was like excited to see Thor. This one, I am extremely excited to see. Like, I cannot wait to see this one.
Yeah, I love the way you put it, out of obligation, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Like, 'cause the first one, I was like, oh, cool, Kenneth Branagh is directing it. Let's see what happens here. Eh, it's okay. The second one, hey boy, that was... I love the world building of it, but I didn't like a whole lot else. So, okay, so the guy who directed this, Oh boy.
Taika Waititi.
Him. He was in Green Lantern. He was Tom. I didn't even realize that.
I didn't either.
Huh. He's also in Thor. He's playing Korg.
Yeah.
All right, so what is the else has he directed then? Wow.
But we,
not a lot. I mean, a lot of TV.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's the whole thing. It's funny, like, Kevin Feige just has this, you know, touch that's kind of like, you know, I see something in you. Why don't you give it a shot? And it's kind of like, I think it's the whole thing is like, they don't, they can handle the special effects themselves, so they look for the director to do the scope of the movie, like the heart of the movie. Yeah. And they don't, because it's kind of like, you know, like the Russos wasn't, I mean, like they did a paintball episode Community. And you might say, oh, I saw that. Yeah, they could do Winter Soldier and do Civil War and basically, you know, co-run all the Marvel movies. It's like, you know, James Gunn did, you know, James Gunn didn't do anything high thing. Like, yeah, he can do basically our version of Star Wars. Like, that wasn't a I think it's like they have the idea now, especially where it's not the melanin like it was before. It's like, you know, I give you freedom of vision to do what you need to do and do what you want. We'll do the heavy lifting on the stuff that you're not strong in. Just focus on the stuff you're strong in, and you'll be okay, and that works. When you have a support system that can do that, and you got the money that Disney has, it works.
Yeah, I'm looking at James Gunn, and I see... I mean, where's director? Not writer. God damn it. Oh, wait a minute. Where is his director stuff? Oh, there we go. Sorry. Okay, movie 43... Oh, that thing. Super?
That was Super.
Oh, my God. Ooh. That one? I don't know he'd made
that.
That was hard to get through.
Yes, it was. What would a superhero really look like in real life? That's what Super was, for better or for worse.
But, yeah, so he went from Tromaville Cafe, which is ridiculous. Like, wow. Something called PG Porn, a TV series short, Super... Movie's 43, okay? His next movie is Guardians of the Galaxy. Then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and now, you know, he's directing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. About that, like, you know,
wow.
It's like, I went from being a fry cook to drive-thru to, you know, run the Eastern Division of McDonald's. For the Eastern Seaboard, basically, it's like, oh, you know, last week I just learned how to make the chicken sandwich, and now I'm running McDonald's from Maine to Miami.
I'm trying to think, like, what are the other ones? But yeah, he wrote a lot, which probably helped. But giving over the power of being the director for these sci-fi, like heavy FX laden movies, I finally got that out. That's crazy. And what's even crazier is the success of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
It's funny because there's been a complaint about that, saying like how now, before people had kind of had to earn their way to get something like that, and now it's like, you know, you get two things, like, oh, it was a cute movie or a cute show, and you get the keys to the kingdom. Like, they don't complain when it works. Like, you know, for James Gunn and the Russos, it worked. But... it's like when you see Colin Trevorrow or you see what's his face, Josh Trank.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of like you're a director that's been grinding for 10 or 15 years. Like, think about Patty Jenkins. She did a movie that, like, you know, Charlize Theron won an Oscar for, and she couldn't get nothing until she did Wonder Woman. And now Wonder Woman made almost $800 million, basically, for all intents and purposes, saved DC, and they're still fighting over money.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'd be feeling a certain way if I had to do all this. Like, I had to basically climb Mount Everest, and this guy found his keys, and we're at the same spot.
Yeah, and it's funny, because I'm looking at John Watts, the guy who did Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
A movie called Clown? Oh, my God, that's actually one of my Netflix-suggested movies. Holy shit, all right. So that was in 2014. He had done our RoboCop remake, a bunch of Onion News Network stuff, then Cop Car, which I haven't seen. But after Cop Car, that's the one that got him the Spider-Man gig. And we're all like, who the hell's this guy? Yeah. And all of a sudden, Spider-Man's, I think, the third highest grossing movie right now, if I remember right.
He's like, you know, oh, we saw this movie. I was watching Cinemax one night, and I saw this nice movie you made, and it was cool. So, you want to do Spider-Man?
Like, does your agent go, who the fuck is this? And then hang the phone up? You know, like, no, this is a prank call. I mean, yeah.
The biggest problem comes because it's only, like, one type of person. Because, like, remember all the stuff, you know, Patty, oh, they're taking a risk, they're doing a gamble. And I'm like, shit, no, why is it when it's, no, you don't hear that talk when it's anybody else. It's like, it's an opportunity when you're one type of person, and it's a risk and gamble when you're a different type of person. And that whole thing, like, that part kind of, like, rubs me the wrong way, because it's like, yeah, it's a lot of people who put work in and, like, getting ignored and stuff. But it's kind of like, you know, you get a chance. Before, it's like, you know, you, like, if you're a woman or minority director, you get one chance. If it don't work, you're out of luck. Now, a lot of them, like, you get one chance, it can still work, and you might be out of luck. Because for all the crap that, you know, the first two Fantastic Four movies get, you know, how bad and mediocre they are, they would kill to get that box office now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those Tim Story movies made money, and way more money than that Josh Trank movie made. And it's kind of like, you're not going to see Tim Story do a comic movie anytime soon, even though his movies were, like, financially successful. The other one's like, oh, you know, he's an enfant terrible. We just got to let him cool off and we get a chance. And it's like, yeah. But having said that, I'm looking forward to seeing Thor, even though I wouldn't expect, you know, this guy to get that chance. But I think it's kind of like he has a quirky sense of humor, and he embraces, like, absurd things, and that's actually, like, a good fit for Thor. And yeah. The fact that Chris Hemsworth is funny as hell, like, definitely works. Like, it works because the characters fit. And the fact is, like, you got Jeff Goldblum doing Jeff Goldblum things.
The trailer was significantly lacking Jeff Goldblum. The new one. He was not in it nearly enough, but that's fine. Save it for the movie. There was no Star Wars announcement or anything like that. No new trailer. That's fine. Didn't really expect it, because you don't need to.
Yeah, it's Star Wars. It's kind of like, we'll do it when we'll do it, and then people will complain. It's funny where, like, Star Wars is like, most movies kind of like, you know, people complain that they get too much. Star Wars is complaint like, we don't get nearly enough, and we got to overanalyze what we get, and, like, that's not fair. And it's like, they know exactly what they're doing. They could drop a 30-second trailer, and that'd be the last trailer they drop. People will still show up. Like, as soon as the commercials start in, like, mid-November, people know it's Star Wars season, right? So they're going to let their Marvel division get their shine. And it's funny when, like, DC dropped that Justice League trailer, like, around noon, everybody was excited. Man, by 8 o'clock, I forgot all about that.
He would ban trench.
It is not even their fault that the trailer bad, like, because Marvel did not play fair, because they dropped the Thor one. Then they talked about the Infinity War stuff. Then they dropped casting for Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, I guess we can talk about that next.
Yeah, that was the one I didn't hear about, that Lawrence Fishburne's in it.
Hey, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer, yeah. So I guess they're going to get her out of whatever particle dimension she's in.
Okay, time out. We're going to have a movie where it's going to have Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer, Lawrence Fishburne, and T.I.,
yeah,
a comic movie. Like,
funny how you did that, because I didn't know where you were going. It's like,
yeah,
that's
like, that's the thing. It's kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, he's playing Goliath. Okay, like, huh? Like, that's the universe we're in now, where Michelle Pfeiffer just sashays her ass onto a Marvel movie, and it's like, oh, okay, well, it fit her and Michael Douglas around the same age. Like, they're playing the Wasp and Proto Ant-Man. Like, that's a thing in 2017 or 2018. Like, that's, I was reading that cast and I just started laughing. Like, this is insane.
And that comes,
like,
out next year.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm looking at I got the cast pulled up now. Oh yeah, I forgot Walton Goggins is in this.
Yes. Like, I forgot. Like, that's,
yeah.
It must be great when you can just get whoever you want to be in your movies. And they're like, oh, that'll be fun. Either, like, my kid wants to see me dress up as a superhero, or I gotta pay off my boat, or whatever it is. It's like, it must be great to be able to just do that, and that's not a problem.
So one thing I asked you was, is this version of Goliath going to be the bad guy? Because wasn't the original Goliath from Thunderbolts, but he was actually somebody different? Or do I have that backwards? He was a bad guy's Goliath, and then he changed the Super Bowl, the Thunderbolts, and became somebody else. Boy, this is digging in deep.
Yes, it is. I mean, well, it's kind of like Lawrence Fishburne can be a bad. I mean, he has no problem playing a bad guy. Like, he has enough gravitas to do it. But it's just weird because it's like, it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay, like, no. This version of the character was a good guy.
Yeah, I think this is the version William that got Foster. Killed in Civil War. Yeah, yeah. It's the one that got killed in Civil War by Thor, or Clone Thor, anyway. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, this is just...
Okay, yeah, it was funny. Eric Jossen. He was the supervillain Power Man. Then he became Atlas. That was the guy. Then he became Atlas in the Thunderbolts. All right, so that's not him. Okay.
So that was a thing, and then you're busy talking about that, and then you hear about the Captain Marvel movies, like, well, yeah, it's set before Iron Man 1. Nick Fury has both his eyes, and yeah, we're going to bring the Kree Skull War to the Marvel Universe.
Which, is Marvel just saying to hell with Fox and using the Kree?
No.
Or the Skrulls?
No, they can share the Skrulls. It's like, Fox owns, like, Super Skrull and Elijah, like the one that was in Fantastic, like the name Skrulls, Fox owns. Skrulls themselves, they can share. It's like some characters they can share, some only y'all can use. And for all the talk about how antagonistic Fox and Marvel, they have worked together with stuff like that. Like, you know, they made trades, like, let me use this character, I'll let you use that character. Like, the whole thing is kind of like they let Negasonic Teenage Warhead be in Deadpool. And then in return, Ego got to be in Guardians Volume 2. So it's like, you know, it's funny where they work together with stuff. They just don't make a big deal about it. And it's kind of like, you know, it's small stuff. And you always wonder, because it's kind of like the Skrulls are like, besides Shi'ar, they're like the main named villains in Marvel. Like, yep. I mean, like aliens in like Marvel comics. And you seem like, you know, you would figure if they're going to show up, it'd be like the first Avengers, and they didn't. So it's like, well, I guess, you know, they can't use the Skrulls. So the fact that they show up now is like, well, they were saving it for a big deal. And the fact that they're doing it pre-Iron Man opens up a whole lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff. Because it's kind of like, you know, well, where were they? And where was she? If, like, it's, you know, she did this and then bounced, and then she's just coming. Like, it just opened up a whole lot of opportunities. And then it helps the whole thing. Is like, you don't have, like, another rookie superhero. Like, she's been around the block.
Yeah, that'll help quite a bit, because I think the origin story is dead. I mean, it's got to be, right? Which is actually, I'm going to something else after this, but it's like, my God, every movie. And that's why I like Spider-Man so much. It was like, you know the origin. I got bit. Let's go. And good. But I'm wondering, yeah, like, with Captain Marvel, does it need to have some sort of origin story?
Nah. Do it like Blade. Just jump in.
Yeah.
Talk about it for like 10 seconds. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, I know why they do origin stories for people, especially like characters like Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, because you don't know. But you don't, at this point, you really don't have to really do them anymore, or you can kind of like do them in other people's movies. Like, you know, like Black Panther didn't have an origin story. He just, you know, I'm such and such. My dad died. Now I'm Black Panther.
Yeah. They're going to explore in the next one. So
yeah, you can explore and like do it, but you don't have to spend a whole damn movie. Like, cause at this point, like, that's the biggest thing when you have these new characters, like, we gotta see this. And for the most part, the origin story is kind of saying, like, you know, either they're orphan or they had an accident or something. It's either orphan or accident, and they gotta find their way and gain this, and somebody close to them has to die or get kidnapped, and then yada yada yada. Like, okay, and it's fine when it's these new characters, but then you gotta keep in mind that it's a fan base that has been not even just watching superhero movies. Been watching Marvel movies since like 2003. So we're talking about almost 15 years. Like, get on. Like, leave on this whole song and dance. You don't have to keep on doing it. Get on with the damn show.
Well, I know this is a different company, but speaking of getting on with it, DC announced a movie that no one saw coming. Basically, isn't it? I believe it's replacing the Batman slot. Or no, the Flash slot. And that was Shazam. And that's when I said, well, the origin story is dead, but this one's going to take a tad bit of an explanation. Unless Shazam's the guy at the end of that preview. I was dumbfounded when they announced this one. Because this one totally came out of the blue. Because that's been talked about for ages with The Rock being Black Adam, but he's not going to be in this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it's like the character is, to be weird is to put it mildly. And it's like,
yeah, it's
that's something where you have to do
it.
That's something where you have to kind of, you know, like, it's funny I got this one on this rant, like how you don't need origin stories. I don't know how you do a character like that and not do the origin story, because it's kind of like, he does what? Like, if I take my wife to see that, I can imagine her questions like, huh? Like, he's like, he's six different powers, and he's really a 6-year-old, and he becomes a, like, yeah.
No, he's like 12 or 13. He's not quite that young.
Well, that makes it better. He can.
I think this is DC's attempt at a Spider-Man type figure, because Blue Beetle's not working. The comics, Jaime Reyes is, as much as I like the character, is not catching on, and like that was DC's attempt at, you know, the kid, like the teen market basically for a character.
You know what's funny? Like it's almost like they're treating the Flash like that in the movies.
Yeah, he would be the one the kids would, like, laugh at, yeah.
Yeah, like, and the way they're playing him, especially, like, his dynamic with not just Cyborg, but with Batman, it's almost like, you know, the cranky uncle and the rapscallion nephew was like, mm-hmm. they're treating the Flash almost like, kind of like Spider-Man, and for better or worse. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, that Shazam thing just seems like, who, like, huh?
It's a difficult process, but they can sort of tie it in with Wonder Woman, because she was Greek gods, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe his are Roman, because each letter of
Shazam's, is Roman or Egyptian?
I think it's. Oh, God damn it! Let me look.
I mean, you would know more than me, because, like I said, you're
he
more
was never
DC.
One of my favorite characters, so.
I'm so surprised.
I think the concept of, like, the kid getting in the... Like, he was great in Justice League/Justice League International because no one knew it was just a kid in, like, a Superman's type powers and body. So he would act all goofy, and he was always Shazam around. Well, back then he was Captain Marvel, but now, to avoid confusion, they're calling him straight Shazam now. Let's see. But it that like the way he played off Batman and all that stuff, that was a lot of fun. Oh my God, I forgot how old this character is. This is going to be a damn disaster trying to figure it out. Well, anyways, it's something.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It's Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury. Hence the name Shazam.
Yeah, so that's Greek, and that's Greek slash Roman. So, I mean, that would fit with Wonder Woman, but that just seems so damn goofy. And when they first talked about the main thing, it's kind of like, you know, you worry about Shazam getting overshadowed by Black Adam because The Rock's playing Black Adam. And it's like, Black Adam's a way cooler character anyway, and The Rock is The Rock. So, and it's kind of like, you got The Rock, you not used him? What you doing? Like, seriously, like, be happy. It's funny. He chose DC. He didn't choose Marvel. You got him. He's one of the, or not the biggest movie star on the planet. It's like, oh, we'll get. It's funny where it's kind of like, well, we'll get to the Batman when we get. we'll get to the right. You just going, like, I bought this steak. Like, yeah, I want to finish eating this salad first. I know I spent $100 on this damn 40-ounce T-bone steak, but these crackers are great. I got to finish eating these. Like, it's almost, that's how DC is acting. Like, these whole, we want to get this off-ball stuff off the ground and kind of push aside these known things that actually make money. It's like, get your priorities right.
Yeah, I was surprised, but this movie's supposed to come out in, what, 20, is this another 2019 or is it 2018? No, it's got to be 2019. They don't even have a cast for it yet, is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So
that hasn't stopped people before. It's like, you know,
yeah.
It's almost kind of like, I need to lose weight by my wedding, and this date is this date. Time to get to it. Like, get some pep in your step.
Oh, it's not until 2020. Okay. That was a flash, at least. Let me see.
Yeah, to be determined.
And Shazam is 2019. So it didn't take the place of Flash, after all. Anyways. That's going to be a difficult one. And without the villains, it's almost like you can't have Black Adam in the first one, but I don't know who the hell else he could go against. I think Dr. Shiva, I think? Or the worm one, the worm guy? I can't remember. It was never, like I said, I was never that big on him.
Okay, so, speaking of that, Dr. Shiva, and it's funny, because I know we had talked about Thor. What's more epic, the fact that you see the Hulk fighting a big-ass wolf, or the fact that the end of the trailer you see Hulk fighting almost looking like a God of War boss?
What? Like his head takes up the whole screen. Forgot about that. Yes.
His name is Surtur. Like, he's like, you know, like a Norse super god or something like that. It's like, that's like a cut screen from like God of War 3. And that's how you end the show. Like, that's just, they know how to do trailers. Like, I saw that and I'm like, wow. Like, that's just amazing. That's who we're getting.
Yeah, you just sit down and you're watching going, all right. And then he's just flying through and I'm like, what's this giant devil looking thing? And then that's the end, and I'm like, I'm in. So cool. Let's just... And, okay. And this will tie into Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the leaked Infinity War?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Which, depending on which one you saw, it is what it is. The very first scene of that is the Guardians are flying through space, and Thor thumps on their front window. So I'm wondering what the hell happened in Ragnarok.
Yeah, and people have been like wondering, like, is that a scene from Ragnarok or is that a scene from Infinity War? That, you know, beginning of that one, it's kind of like, you know, Thor doesn't die in Ragnarok, but it's kind of like almost where they're so linked together. It's like the stuff that happens with Thor is going to affect Infinity War. It's almost like it's a prequel to that movie more than really all the other ones.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing Loki's got to come into possession of the Cosmic Cube somehow in Ragnarok.
I mean, it's kind of like, you wonder with that, like, Hela and Thanos are, like, big time connected in the comics. So you wonder, like, you know, it's the whole thing is, like, you have a lot of questions about that movie, and a lot of them probably won't get answered until we see Thor and how that ends. But the fact that you just see, like, even bits and pieces, like, you see all these characters working together. Like, you see the Winter Soldier leading a team of Wakandans. You see the Guardians interacting like Iron Man. You see Black Widow with blonde hair.
I thought it was silver hair. Either way, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not her red hair. How's that?
Yeah, you see Captain America rocking the Metal Gear Solid beard. Like, there's all this different stuff. You see, you know, Doctor Strange teaming up with... who was that he was making... Who was he teaming up with?
Star-Lord.
Because it was someone... Yeah, like, just stuff you wouldn't even expect. Like, the whole thing, like, it built up to this like this. And then you just see Thanos just strolling in like the biggest badass on the planet. Like, yeah. That's... Even, I think, since that movie, probably the biggest movie since The Avengers. Because it's kind of like, you had everybody they had movies in all together fighting one, like, you know, one villain. And it ain't a nameless villain. Like, it's been the main villain they've been building up for like a damn decade, it seems like. And you finally see him. You finally see, like, what's the big deal? Because it's always been like, if you don't read the comics, then it's kind of like, I see a big deal. I just see some purple guy in a sitting in, like, you know, on a chair, just laughing.
Okay, they changed his look, too.
Yeah, like, he's casual Friday. Like, I just left the bar. Which is always weird when you're used to people seeing gauntlets and helmets and just taking off. It's like, he looks like a construction worker. Like this is the badass everybody's worried about. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. Like, I think everybody is looking forward to seeing Infinity War. And from all the stuff, people want, like, when they gonna drop the trailer, when they feel like it. That's when they're gonna do. And people are wondering, like, well, it got leaked, so maybe it was one. What was it? One trailer that got leaked, and then they, like, blame Hydra. Then they drop. What was it? Civil War. Mm-hmm. It was one that it got leaked, and then I think, like, the next day they just decided to, like, show it, and then they made a joke, say it was Hydra's fault. Here's what you're supposed to see. Like, they made a joke from it. So, yeah, it's Marvel's on a roll, and I think this one is kind of like, you know, this is us at our full capacity. We don't have any shackles. We get to do what we want. All these people have been complaining, like, you know, you got to see this movie to understand that movie, and it's going to build up to this. And I can imagine the first time, like, the official trailer drops, we're like, you know, it's not on somebody's camera phone, and the sound looks the way it is. Or imagine the first time you've seen a movie theater. I was going to look.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because Thor doesn't come out till November, so they're not going to sit on it until November, I wouldn't think. But I'm trying to think, what else
could,
Marvel...
They
could, of course, but I'm trying to think, like, what else
Thor,
Marvel's got.
Yeah. I mean, because Thor comes out and Black Panther comes out. Both of those movies come out before Infinity
February,
War.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, it's funny where that movie did come out next spring, and it's like, people are like, why don't they drop the show? I'm like, when they come out next April, like, they got two other movies before that. And it was the same talk where people were focusing on Justice League, and it's like, don't Wonder Woman come out first? Like, focus, you know, it's like, you don't want to spend too much time in the future when you got all this good stuff in the present. It was like, people be asking, like, a Han Solo trailer. It was like, you still got Star Wars come out in December. Like, you want to go dessert and dinner ain't even ready yet. And, like, these aren't movies you necessarily want to skip, because, like, we talked about how excited we are to see Thor and Black Panther, and the fact is, like, when they going to drop the Infinity War, I'm like, when they feel like it, like, what you going to do? Like, not see it? You still going to see it? Like, it's no rush for them to drop it. They can drop it when they want to drop it. Basically.
I mean, especially because their focus is Thor and Black Panther right now. And then,
like,
Because they know you're going to see Infinity War whenever it comes, so it doesn't matter.
Like, we just got the second trailer for Thor, because that comes out, like, November, it'll sneak up out of nowhere, because the way you kind of, like, time has been flying. Like, you know, you still get the second Black Panther trailer. And then, I'm guessing it may not be till, September, October. You get, like, that first official Infinity War trailer.
Well, that would stink, but you know what? They've allowed enough time to even pass this week where, like, the fan fervor is not out there. Like, you got to release it. We got to see it. It's like, all right, well, you know. So,
I guess other stuff going on. So, don't worry about it. Because it's kind of like, even then, like, with the TV shows, they dropped the trailer for the Defenders.
Yeah. And that looks cool, too. I mean,
it's just so much stuff. Like, we only think about, like, the TV, like, all the DC TV shows drop their stuff, and it's like, oh, stuff you would be a big deal normally is like, oh, like, stuff falls through the crack. Like, the fact that Danny Trejo is going to show up as Gypsy's dad on The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or Michael Emerson, like, almost one of my favorite parts of Person of Interest, he's going to be, like, a character on Arrow.
Well, what did I see? Keith David is joining the
New Warriors.
What was that show? New Warriors?
Yes.
On a show we've never even talked about, because I forgot, let alone there's a Cloak and Dagger show coming on something. The new Star Trek with Sasha from Walking Dead, which doesn't make any sense to me. It's going to be on CBS to start. And then it's going to CBS All Access or something. It's not even going to be on the network. I'm like, you're spending millions to not even put it on regular network TV?
It's this whole, we want to get our streaming service. Like, it's way too many streaming services out now. Like, people like Starch. And it's only America. Like, everywhere else, they get to see it when they want. Or, like, they get to see it on Netflix, I think, or something like that. Us, we got to pay extra. Like, they don't treat Star Trek well at all. Like, this whole thing people went from being excited to, like, the hell with this show. Like, you know, you had Brian Fuller, and they wasted so much time. He like, yo, I'm going to go do American Gods. I see y'all when I see y'all. Like, whatever. And you got somebody as passionate, as talented as him, that's passionate about Star Trek, and you drag your feet so much that he just leave. And it's like, you know, we got to recast and do this. And Michael Dorn was like, yeah, they asked me. They wanted to pay me, like, food stamp money. Like, you just, it's, and even the whole thing is like, you finally see the trailer, like, it doesn't look cheap. It definitely looks like they put money in it.
Dude, that looks like a movie.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the thing that's even more weird. It's kind of like, it looks like they put a lot of effort in, but they were just so haphazard to get to that point. It's like, I don't know what's worse, when stuff looks cheap, like half-ass, like how the Inhumans look, or when something looks great, but you just messed up so much that by the time it looks there, you're wondering, like, if you had this, what were you doing? Like, you had this, because it's like, you had all of these opportunities, and you just fumbling around, so you're wondering, like, are they doing it because they're not confident in their material? And then you see, it's like, why didn't they show this off?
Yeah. And I don't know, and they have, apparently she is Spock's sister, or half-sister, half-adopted sister, or something.
She was raised, because she was raised by Sarek. It's kind of like she's a human raised in, like, on with the Vulcan Academy. So it's this, it's the whole, like, it's the inverse of how normally the Vulcan's been, like, you know, like Spock was half human, half Vulcan. It's like the Vulcans learn from humans, and her is like the human that thinks like a Vulcan. And she's not a captain. Like, that's the other thing is, like, you know, you're looking for perspective, like somebody, like a human that seems like an alien, and she's also not in charge. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on that's, like, interesting. But it's like, I know CBS is kind of arrogant when it comes to the whole thing. Like, you know, you can get a 2-point whatever. Dang, CBS numbers didn't beat it. Like, shows will kill for the ratings for shows that CBS normally cancel. But the fact that they spent all this money on this show, and it's Star Trek. Like, it ain't Two Broke Girls. It ain't some throwaway show. It's Star Trek. You trying to tell me you too good to put it on? I don't know if it's a whole, I don't even think it's a, they're too good to put on network TV. It's like, we want to use it to make money on this streaming thing, because we complain about how it's, if you miss a CBS show, good luck catching up on it, because they do not make it easy to catch up on their shows.
Well, you even said that person of interest was on Netflix.
And it took a long time for them to get on Netflix, and the whole thing was, it's almost kind of like they have a real, I guess when you're number one, you get to think that way, and they've been number one for a while, so they do have a level of arrogance, kind of like, we do what we want, and you either get with the program or don't get with the program.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, what else, like, I know I interrupted the DC shows, but they didn't really get, most of those were just recaps of stuff. Not a whole lot of breaking news other than, Deathstroke survives on Arrow.
Yeah, and like he's gonna get flat. He's coming back. He's gonna be doing like episodes, and he's gonna be getting like flashback episodes. It's funny where it went from he was the best part of the show to they pissed him off so much that he didn't show up for like 3 years. So like he's back. Like, you know, first you're thinking like, is it gonna be a one off? He's gonna show back and die or something like that. And now it's kind of like, you know, he's back doing stuff, and it's funny how things happen with that. And it's not like he's not working. Like, he's on another show. Like, he's on that MTV show. That MTV show still comes on. He's an integral part of that show too. So I don't know if it was a lot of apologies, a lot of money was involved, something. It had to have been something for him to, like, you know, welcome back. Because he didn't necessarily have to come back. And he didn't leave on the, from all the things you heard, he didn't leave on the best of terms.
Which is weird. But it was like, it's funny he didn't leave on the best of terms, because like his character, that arc, had kind of run its course for the time being.
I think so what it was...
Why would you piss the guy off?
Yeah.
for solid ass work.
I think had it just ended like how season two ended, it'd been fine. But the fact, like, when he first, that episode when they went back and him and, like, Arrow and Theodis beating him up and they make him seem like this old weak lunatic, that just seemed like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like the whole, you see Willie Mays, like, you know, like, or you see, when you saw Jerry Rice in a Seahawks uniform.
Yeah.
Like, you see somebody great, and it is like, what, like, Hakeem Olajuwon when he was with the Toronto Raptors, like, I know it's like, you know, you don't want to see a character, you know, you don't want to see somebody retire. Don't force them to retire. Like, it's up to them because they're an adult. But it is different because it's TV. It's not like real life. It just felt wrong to seeing that, like, this great character, he just ground around, looked like a lunatic. And I'm glad they fixed that. And we laughed, like, when that last episode came, the first thing, like, yeah, you know, you see that I found my marbles again. Like, I'm not some crazy lunatic acting all out of character being treated like a chump. Like, you know, I'm the character that you missed and loved. So to see him back and, like, him getting time, I'm definitely looking forward to see Arrow, especially it's a different time frame. And then it's kind of like Legends of Tomorrow is going to do this old Legends of Tomorrow thing. Weird, funny, and hilarious. I've been reading some stuff. It's kind of like, they're going to have, like, the villains is kind of like, you know, some of the old, some of the new. You know, because I think, like, what's his face? Neil McDonough. Who did he play? Damian Dark's coming back, but it's, like, a different version of Damian Dark.
Yeah, like, he's dead.
No, but it's like, no, they put him back in a time frame.
That's right.
He died. Well, but then he died. But it's kind of like, yeah, but it's kind of like he's going to be back, but he's not going to be the whole jovial, joking one. And it's like Captain Cold will be back, but it's the villain version, not the heroic version. And it's like basically a different version of Legion of Doom, along with all the other stuff that's going on. Because it's kind of like one of the villains is the granddaughter of the first Vixen. Not the one that's there now, but the one that was there, like, that was on Arrow.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like the granddaughter of the first Vixen is going to be villain fighting her ancestor, a.k.a. the second Vixen. It's like, you start saying this stuff out loud, and it's like, huh? And it's like, it makes sense, and all you can say, like, it makes sense if you watch the show. Because you see dinosaurs in Los Angeles. Like, yeah. That's the type of show it is, so.
Well, the one for me, the big one for me was Tom Felton leaving Flash.
Yeah.
Because, shockingly, he turned out not to be a bad guy. Like, I understand that there were, you know, he was the, oh my God, I forgot, Dr. Alchemy, but it wasn't by choice. And then he, like, you know, got in, the group accepted him, he became part of the team, him and Caitlin had that thing going, and then he gone. And I apparently he may be okay to come back. Like, he may come back, but not as a recurring character. As a recurring character.
Yeah, like, he's definitely not coming back. Like, he's not going to be a series regular recurring character. They, like, he may not come back, period. And it's like, I don't know, because it's kind of like, that cast, you don't want the cast to be too big, is the big thing. Yeah. Like, you know, I know they talk about the whole, like, time went by. Barry will be there eventually, but he's not there when it starts. And it's kind of like, you know, you got Kid Flash, you got Iris, you got Cisco, you got Caitlin, whatever side she's on, you got Joe, and then you want whatever version of Wells, and then is Wells' daughter going to be there? Like, you got a lot of, we talked about that with the CW shows, where you don't want to get to the point where you got like a 12-person main cast, like, you only get 47 minutes.
Yeah, sometimes 44.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was just surprised. Because it doesn't seem like there's any sort of clean break, but I guess with Caitlin becoming Killer Frost / Caitlin, that, you know, maybe he had enough and he had to leave. I don't know. But I was disappointed because that guy's always played a bad guy and he didn't in this, and I was gone. So, or they're bullshitting and it's gonna come out and he's the bad guy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, they're not giving everything away.
Yeah, that's That's weird, but it's like that happens. We haven't really talked about Supergirl. Like, I haven't even seen the Supergirl trailer yet. Like, I've been reading some of that stuff. Black Lightning is going to be a thing.
I didn't
like,
see
it's a lot
about
of
Black Lightning. I'm like,
I know,
right.
But the fact is, like, it's all these shows. Like, we haven't, we barely talked about the new Fox show, the X-Men show, or X-Men adjacent show. Like,
yeah,
it's just Gifted.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't seen anything about it. That's why.
I've seen trailers for it. I've seen previews, and it's kind of like, you know, it's in the X-Men universe, but not really. And it's like, it's funny between that and Legion. It's almost kind of like it's in the universe, but we don't beat you over the head with it. But then it's kind of like we're trying to get Professor Xavier to show up on the show for Legion. It's like, well, which one? And then it's kind of like, it's just a weird time to be a comic fan because you have all these options on all these shows. And it's like, yeah, we won. Like, if there's any doubt, like, between TV and movie, like, it's funny where the comic book section of all that is the one that's doing the worst. Like, they can't get their head out their own ass. And everything else is just going on. Like, you know, you get TV shows that debut on IMAX. You get shows that's on basic cable, basic TV, streaming. You got these big budget movies from these, like, C and D list characters become A list characters. Like DC, beside the whole Gotham, you know, City Sirens thing, it's a Harley Quinn versus Joker movie. They like whatever idea people like. You know what? What if we did this? And they like, I don't know if it'll work or not, but I want to go on this comic book train. Take my money. Basically, it's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
And for all the talk that people say it's too much, like it's still only what, 6 comic movies a year, like from all the studios. Like you get more comedy, you get like more like dramas or anything. That, I always laugh when they talk about this whole it's too many comic movies. I'm like, because it's funny. Like, what was this movie? Rules of Engagement came on with like Samuel Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones. It's like this military drama, and it's like that's the movie that we don't get anymore. I'm like, do anybody really miss those?
Yeah, or where's the general's daughter? I haven't seen her in a while.
So it's kind of like, oh yeah, we used to have basic. Or the biggest thing is like we used to have Gone in 60 Seconds, and now we have Transformers. I like Gone in 60 Seconds, but it wasn't like this big thing that we missed. Like, yes, I love Con Air, and we don't really get. It's funny, like Con Air, we still get those, but now the budget's cut in half, or it shows up on Netflix.
Yeah,
like that's the only thing that really changed because you still get your rom-coms, you still get your disaster movies, you still get your war movies, you still get your historical drama. The main thing that you get less of is you don't get those, like, the stuff like The Girl on the Train, you get, like, maybe 1 or 2 of those a year, and you used to get, like, 15 of them.
Well, and then the thing is, people say, we don't get these movies. They go, well, did you go and see it?
Nope. Well, yeah, then you're the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Girl on the Train, I don't know how well that did. I don't know one person that went and saw it.
Yeah, it's kind of like everyone saw Gone Girl. Yeah, it's like if you do a good one, they'll see it. Like, you know, people can like people say, "Oh, we don't have movies like Heat anymore." Like, because you didn't see the ones you did until The Town came out, and then it's like, "Oh, you saw that? You go see the movies. They make money. You don't see the movies, then people will stop making the movies." Like, you can't say they don't give us what we want, and then they give it to us. And we like the whole thing, like with Dread, like, you know, we don't get those R-rated badass comic movies. And then I'm mad I missed it. And I didn't get it. Like, be fortunate enough that some people saw Dread bomb and they're like, you know, I don't know about this John Wick thing. Cause like, nah. Be happy. They like, you know what, we're going to do this anyway. Cause we feel like we have something. And now that's going to be like a movie universe of its own. Cause it could have easily been like, you know what? I don't know. Like, it's R-rated. People not really feeling Keanu like that. Like, I don't know if we want to see that.
Yeah.
Like, that could have easily happened.
That still happens with movies.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And, yeah, I'm just repeating what you said. But, yeah, you see these movies out. Like, I still haven't gone to see Dunkirk. I went and saw – you haven't seen it, have you?
No, I haven't.
Did you see Valerian?
No, I saw Girls Trip.
Oh, okay. That one, I'm just like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah, that I would just say the only thing I'll say about that movie was two things. One, that movie was hilarious. Like, that's when comedies when comedy's at work in a movie theater is awesome because everybody, it's almost like a party. And two, people talk about how the whole male gaze when men leer at women, they are nowhere as bad as women when it comes to movies. Because it's this one character that shows up, and these women, I thought they started ovulating. They lost their damn minds. They are hooping and hollering and fanning themselves and shouting and clapping and like, Lord have mercy, and screaming. And I'm looking around like, show some decorum. Like, ugh, show some, like, imagine if guys did that. Like, you know, yeah, like,
I know. That's the first thing like, I thought of.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking about when you saw, oh, I can remember. And I'm trying to think, like, the last time I felt, like, almost uncomfortable watching a movie because of somebody. I remember Iron Man 2, the first time Scarlett Johansson showed up, and I don't know what it was or how they framed it. It's almost like you looking at it and, like, you almost felt, it wasn't like it was perverted, but the way they filmed it and the way she was just looking, it just felt like, yeah, I almost feel bad watching it. Like, she was just smoking.
Well, same thing with Megan Fox and Transformers. That's all she was shot for.
Yeah. But that one just felt like, that just felt dirty. Yeah. Like, that, yeah, like, Iron Man 2 wasn't even filmed away for that, but they just framed away, like, she just was just, that's where the term smoldering comes from. Like, it's different when you see, like, you know, we saw Fast 7, and you see, like, Natalie Emanuel, the first time she comes out the water, it's like, yeah, you, like, that's what that's for. And it's like, imagine you watch that, and all the guys just start whooping and hollering. Can you imagine how they, yeah, like, sit down, you damn perverts.
I was kind of like that Sunday. So, did you see Game of Thrones Sunday?
Yes, I saw Game of Thrones. Yes, everyone saw Game of Thrones Sunday. So between that and Euron Greyjoy being Wario, like,
dude, that was all right. I did. Well, this will wrap up the show. I never read the books. I mean, I don't know if that's in the books or not. But I'm watching this, going, okay. So, what's his name? Finally got some. I don't know how to treat that one. So I'm like, all right, that's gonna be the big thing of this episode, that he's sullied now. And watching the rest, like, this is just talking. Okay, so Aya's going to see John. All right, and then they're on the boat, and you know, the chick's trying to get on Theon's sister, and I'm like, all right, well, this is different. All of a sudden, he comes out of, like, a bat out of the hell out of the blue, and I'm like, wait, what? Didn't see any of that coming. And I'm like, that's why this show's still solid.
And you know what's funny? It's because you begin an episode, they were all planning, we're going to do this, this, and this. And it's like, okay, it makes sense. Reason it makes sense. Because you're wondering, like, the whole thing of the show is kind of like, it's how we make, like, you know Danny's going to win. But how are you going to wait to make it that it's just not like a blowout? Because it's kind of like she has the numbers, she's got the advantages, and she has dragons. Like, how is she going? Like, how are you going to have any suspense? And it's like, it's almost where I want to win, but I want to, like, bomb out. Like, you know, a ruler, nothing still has nothing. So I can't use my dragons. I can't just use my, you know, foreign armies to just lay waste because it's like, it ain't going to work. And then the fact that this Euron just shows it out of, like, they make a big deal like he's this super sailor from hell and everything like that. But that's the first time we're really sinking, because it's kind of like he just snuck, like, they didn't see ships shooting fire catapults. Like, he just snuck. I know it's dark outside. Nobody heard nothing. Nobody saw nothing.
That's him, though. That's like, that's why they're such great warriors. Yeah, or sailors.
But I'm like, Yara ain't no slouch. Like, you know, the whole thing is kind
of freak on. That's why.
And then he just shows up screaming on the ship. I'm like, this is a comic book villain right here. Like, he's just here because normally the villains on there are kind of like stoic, like, we do what we got to do. Like, Stannis was like almost like paying taxes. Like, I'm doing it because I'm supposed to, but let's get on with it. He's like, he's like warrior. Like, he's just hooping and hollering and just like a damn madman dressed like Shinsuke Nakamura. And it's just like everything about that whole scene was hilarious. And then for all the talk about the sand snakes being these badass, it's like, pfft, you bring a whip to a sword fight. Like, how you think that's going to end? Like, it's almost kind of like, you know, we know people didn't really like the storyline, so we're going to wrap up the storyline. And yeah, like, I'm curious to see that. The whole, I'm going to use a big crossbow to kill a dragon, like...
It's like, yeah, how many, okay, how many of these giant arrows are you going to make? Care if you get,
yeah, you can make a thousand. Like, it's different hitting an old 300-year-old dried-out skeleton and then hitting a real-life dragon that's alive with scales that's flying. Like, yeah, if you get them on the ground, you might kill one. Like, it's hard. Like I was saying, I've seen enough World War II movies, and unless, like, unless the dude from The Hobbit shows up shooting one of them, like, yeah, I saw how that ended. Like, yeah, like, that sounds like a nice idea, and that makes more sense than, like, a magic horn that controls dragons, because you wonder, like, what they're going to do. It just seems goofy. Like, we're definitely going to watch and see it, but that's just, I saw that, I'm like, This is some Acme Looney Tunes shit.
Yeah, I'm guessing one of the dragons gets knocked out, but yeah, because you're gonna need them to fight the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. But then apparently they have ice dragons though, which they haven't shown yet if they're even around. So
yeah, it's,
I don't know.
That's the whole thing, and that's the big thing about the show. It's kind of like, it's too, all this stuff has kind of been like really. It's two big stories going on, but 90% of the cast is focused only on one. Everybody's fighting on who's ruling. I need to be in control. I need to rule. And Jon Snow is like, do y'all really? It's zombies out there. Like, y'all talking about who's ruling the kingdoms, and y'all trying to free slavery. And it's kind of like, you haven't seen what I've seen. Like, I've seen some weird shit. And if you've seen what I've seen, you wouldn't be talking this mess. But they like, yeah, okay, you saw White Walkers. Wow, okay. And I saw, it's almost like I saw Santa Claus. And it's kind of like, you can see why they're kind of brushing it off. At the same time, it's like, you're following this guy, you're calling him King of the North, and he's saying he saw zombies. So either he saw zombies, or y'all all idiots. Which one is it? It's kind of like, y'all trust him enough to follow his orders, and he say he saw zombies. Forget all this, we fighting for land stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Let's get to the zombie. And I'm real curious to see how the conversation goes Sunday between him and Daenerys. Like, that's been built up for a while.
Yeah.
I get to see them.
Now, are those two cousins or half-brother and half-sister?
No, she's his aunt.
Okay. I've been trying to figure that out, so.
Because
her
brother was the one that had the baby with Lyanna Stark. He's just a lot older than she is. Like, you know, by the time she was born, he was already dead. So, yeah. It's funny where those are basically like two of the main characters, and they've never interacted, and they had like two completely different mindsets, and just seeing them interact, because she's all being like, yeah, I can talk with him as long as he bowed at, like, get down and lay down, and he like, you better get out my face, lady. Like, this whole thing, like, they have very strong personalities. They both believe in justice. Their idea of justice are completely opposed, because the whole thing is like, I should be in control because it's rightfully mine. I can do it the best, and if you don't, I'm gonna burn you alive. Like, the whole Spivar is like, you know, yeah, I'll give you this chance, even though you've been kind of shady the whole time. But yeah, just keep in mind, I got a dragon. And it's kind of like, they've dropped enough hints where it's like, is she the good guy? Like, because Game of Thrones doesn't really do good guys like that. If they did one, Jon Snow would be the closest one to be like a traditional good guy, even though he was old Mr. Stick in the Mud. Because she's real, like, you know, I'm just and fair. But she quick to, like, eat somebody, like, my dragon will eat you if you don't go with the flow.
Well, they've given her, like, an underdog story. And I think that's the only reason why you look at her as, like, sort of a hero instead of, you know, all she's doing this for is to claim something that she thinks is hers. That's it.
I wish you could see my face when you said that. Like, it's technically true that it's an underdog story, but she shows up with, like, three armies, dragons, and she's magical. It's kind of like, and then they've said a lot of stories like, you know, your father was kind of crazy, and he did all this and that. And she's done enough stuff where it's like, you could see it ending badly for her.
Yeah.
Like, almost kind of like, you know, maybe we got to save her from herself. because like she might be too much like her dad, and she tries to say like, you know, I know my father was evil and I don't want to be like that. But she quick to roast somebody alive when stuff go the wrong way, and she quick to like, you know, you're gonna do what I want you to do because it's the right way to do, and if you don't, it's not gonna end well. Like, she can be a bully when she wants to be a bully. And yeah, the fact that the people she's bullying are worse than her kind of is like, you let stuff slide. Yeah. Like, you know, because who's going to follow, like, you know, slave traders or, you know, the Dothraki assholes that just want to talk about doing it to a donkey style, thinking she can't speak the language. So it's kind of like, yeah, but it's like, she butt heads with Jon Snow and people like Jon Snow. So how's that going to go?
Yeah. And I guess that's going to be the nice part about watching this. You know, but on that note, we'll find out Sunday. So we're going to get out of here. Anything we forgot, we'll just pick up next week, or just go, well, there was a reason we forgot. And yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. Follow us on all social media. Just look for Stunt Granny. We're there. Email's the same thing. And yeah, that's it. So, oh, what's this week? Atomic Blonde. I'm going to try and catch that. And hopefully we can talk about that next week, too. So I'm out of here. And have a good weekend, week, wherever you listen to this. And thanks for listening, guys.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and we drop trailers when we're ready for it, not when you want it. We are out.